Good morning, and welcome to West End United Methodist Church on this beautiful October fall day. We are so blessed by your presence here as we gather together on this World Communion Sunday, and we give thanks for the fact that we can gather here together to worship God. There are several announcements that we have for this week. First, I'd like to let everyone know that there will be sign-ups for our Room in the Inn ministry in Reed Hall, to your right, following the service. Room in the Inn is a program where we help serve and house our homeless friends in the Nashville community. And so if you have a group or several families that would like to get together and do that, please feel free to head to Reed Hall afterwards and sign up to assist with Room in the Inn. Also, tonight, our youth will be heading to Green Street Ministries to serve their friends there, and they will meet here at 4:55 p.m. And finally, we want to announce that we have a new welcome center. It's the place that you will now find our Andrew ministers. So if you are a visitor or you're just looking for more information about our church or a class, you can find that at our Welcome Center, and the Welcome Center will be right out here by the library each week. And even if you don't need any information today, I would suggest you go out there and look at the beautiful piece of furniture that has been created for that purpose. And so that will be our new station for all things West End information. Now let us turn our hearts and minds to the worship of God, who invites us to the table of grace.
Alleluia, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Today, Christians gather around the world to come to God's table. Though we differ in language, custom, and tradition,
we are sisters and brothers in Christ.
For there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
We are one in God's Spirit.
Together we remember our Lord Jesus.
Come, let us worship the God of our salvation.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Will you join with me in the prayer for illumination? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' And if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe them." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Recently, as a part of my pastoral duties here at West End, I went to make a visit at one of the local hospitals. Now, I knew whom I was supposed to go see, but was not sure which room the patient was in. So, confident in my role as dutiful pastor, I walked up to the receptionist's desk to determine where I was headed. So I assumed and mustered up all the ministerial authority given to me by the church, and I was wearing my official West End name tag, and I told the woman at the front that I was there to make a pastoral visit and that I needed a room number. And, you know, I expected a response right away, but instead, she glanced at her computer for a moment, and then she peered up at me over the rim of her glasses and gave me a hard stare. And then she said, "Might this patient go by another name?" And I admitted that I didn't know. And then she informed me that unless I could give her the exact name as it was listed in the computer, that she could not give me a room number. She proceeded to detail how doing so could actually violate the rights of that patient. And honestly, it was a humbling moment. Just when I was so confident in the good thing that I was about to go do, this receptionist's own exercise of her authority made me aware of my limits, of my role in that situation. I wasn't even sure of this patient's full name, and I certainly was not in the privileged position of taking care of this person in the ways that the staff and the doctors at the hospital were. And you know, in that instance, my pastoral authority felt like something pretty minor in the grand scheme of things. It put my own role into proper perspective. Now, eventually I was able to contact the church and get the full name and make my visit. But then, as I was making my way out of the hospital, the receptionist actually stopped me, and she asked, "Was everything all right, Pastor?" And I told her it was, and then I thanked her for doing her job so well and for protecting the privacy and welfare of these patients under her care. And then you know what she told me? She said, "That's what the Lord put me here to do." And I thought to myself, all this time I thought I was the one here to do the Lord's work. But you know, sometimes the authority we exercise is not all that it's cracked up to be. Now I imagine that's a bit how these chief priests and elders felt when they were confronted by the work and ministry of Jesus. It's important to remember that this encounter between Jesus and the religious leaders in the temple comes on the heels of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the one that we celebrate on Palm Sunday. And so in the opening verses of this very same chapter in Matthew's account of Jesus' coming into Jerusalem, we hear that he enters to shouts of, "Hosanna to the Son of David, and this is the prophet from Nazareth." And it's also in this chapter where Jesus enters the temple and overturns the tables of the money changers and those selling animals for sacrifice. He makes the charge that the temple has become a den of thieves. And then people that see this gather around and flock to him for healings. And then as fast as he came in, he leaves to spend the night outside of Jerusalem. The leaders of the temple must have watched this audacious, even scandalous display with suspicion. It would be as if someone were to walk into our sanctuary in the middle of the service and start stripping the cloth off of the altar and knocking over our candles and flowers and then shouting, "This is not what the church is all about." So it's with these events in mind that these religious leaders then approach Jesus when he returns to Jerusalem and begins teaching. I think the priests truly want to know, what is it that makes this guy think he can go about doing all of these things? Now, as far as they understand their role, they are set apart as servants of God to maintain the temple and the ordinances of their religion. Their line of authority is very clear. It's rooted in the teachings of the Torah, and their responsibilities are well understood. But Jesus' actions have disrupted this sense of order, and so these chief priests and elders reasonably ask Jesus, "Who gives you the authority to do such things?" Now, as Jesus is often wont to do in the gospel narratives, he refuses to give a straight answer. Instead, he offers them a question of his own. And he asks them right back, he says, if they can say where John the Baptist got his authority, whether it was from humans or from heaven, then he will answer the question they've posed to him about his authority. And so suddenly these interrogators get a taste of their own medicine. And the decision is thrown back on them. So assured of their standing just a moment before, now these leaders are forced to make a determination about the source of John's authority. Now, John, too, had been a rabble-rouser of sorts, a voice crying out in the wilderness, as Matthew puts it, borrowing language from the Hebrew scriptures. And John had also acted boldly and confidently in his ministry of baptism, calling people to turn their hearts to the things of God. And he had done this work amongst any and all people who were willing to come out to the desert and hear him preach. And so these religious leaders had a big choice to make. Was John really a messenger of God or not? And so after debating for a while and thinking about the consequences of each potential choice, their final answer was, of course, "We don't know." Now don't get me wrong. A lot of times, "we don't know" or "I don't know" is really a great answer. In fact, if you're ever in a Bible study with me and I'm leading and you ask me something that I don't know, I'm probably just going to tell you that. because I think sometimes it's good to acknowledge the limits of our own knowledge and understanding. But in this instance, at this moment, I'm not sure this is the good kind of I don't know. Rather, this is more like a refusal to make a choice. It's an unwillingness to make a claim about how and where and in whom God is at work. And so upon their refusal to answer, Jesus seems to say as much by telling a short parable. And he tells this story of two sons whose father asked them to go work in the vineyard. And the first says, "No, I will not go do that." But then he goes and does it anyway. And then the second son says, "Oh, sure, yes, I'll go do that." But then never goes. And so then when Jesus asks these persons, which of the sons did the will of his father, they answer quickly this time, the first one. And finally, someone has answered one of the questions. But Jesus seizes on that answer and tells them that surely the tax collectors and prostitutes would enter the kingdom of God because they believed John, who came in the way of righteousness. And not only would they enter the kingdom of God, but they would do so ahead of the chief priests and elders. Now, if these persons were scandalized by Jesus' actions before, imagine how they must have felt by such a pronouncement. They must have been wondering to themselves, what game is this Jesus playing with us? We have spent our lives attempting to do the will of God. And then he says the tax collectors and prostitutes are going ahead of us. Something just doesn't add up here. Now this week, in our Tuesday noon Bible study, several of the members of the group commented on how convicting this encounter and parable are for religious people such as ourselves. Because we too are people who like to think we are striving to live out God's will. And our group discussed whether we could ever know if we were really doing the right thing. And members of the group wondered if we were doomed to be hypocrites, saying one thing and doing another. But then an astute member of the group said, "Look at the end of the story. Look there, because it's there that Jesus shows us the way forward." And she pointed out that even though the parable talks about doing and not doing, really the key thing that the tax collectors and the prostitutes do is that they simply take notice and they believe. It's not that they are living God's will perfectly. It's that they believe that God is on the move in their midst. And they trust that God is meeting people on the margins of society. They believe the kingdom of God is near them too. And they know that the message of God comes from unexpected people in unexpected places. I think when we attempt to make this story about what we or other people are doing, we risk making the mistake of not truly believing in God's active presence. We risk relying solely on our own authority, our own abilities. Ultimately, this account and parable call us not to get caught up in what it is we are doing or not doing, but rather to get swept up, in what it is that God is doing. So I think that Jesus' challenge to the priests and elders isn't just a rebuke. It's more of an invitation to reconsider their covenantal relationship with God. It's as if Jesus is saying, "Don't you see what is going on all around you? God is bringing new life and healing and wholeness to the sick and the poor and the hungry and the outcast. These are the people with whom your own commitments to God say that you are to be concerned. And then you are going to ask about where my authority comes from? You should already know. It comes from the same place that you claim yours does. And it's evident in all that is happening among these people. And yet, it seems that you still fail to notice it." And you know, as I've thought about this encounter and this parable all week long, it's really left me with more questions than answers. All week long, I've been wondering, where are we not seeing that God is already on the move? Whose voices do we ignore that our relationship with the God that we know in Jesus Christ demands that we should be listening to? Where does our own sense of privilege or propriety or rightness keep us from fully responding to the call of God? I think it's the answer to questions like these that will help us to see whose authority we are really living under. Now, it's not likely, I don't think, that we will ever perfectly live into the will of God. But you know, faith doesn't really require our perfection. Rather, faith, true deep faith, asks that we open our eyes and our hearts to the freely moving Spirit of God. It asks us to live out of that Spirit as we come alongside the work of God that is already happening among the people that have a special place in the heart of God. And it calls us to a life that is a strange and mysterious balance of boldly pursuing God's will and of humbly accepting our limits and shortcomings. In other words, we are called to continually reorient our lives toward the living God, nothing more and nothing less. So as you come to this table today, and as you kneel in prayer and receive the communion elements, let the question linger. By whose authority are you living? Whose authority?
As we come to this time in our worship service, we want to lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have a prayer request that you would like to share, please fill out one of the gray cards that you'll find in the pew rack. Please also indicate whether it's something that you want to be shared or you want to be kept confidential, and you can drop that card in the offering plates when they're passed in a few moments. This morning we offer sympathy to Chris Sinkowitz and her family, who are mourning the death of two beloved aunts, Doris White, who passed away in New Holland, Ohio on September 19th. Services were held there on September 22nd. And Jan Van Hoos, who passed away on September 25th in Columbus, Ohio. We also express sympathy to Neil and Ann Lambert and their family, who are mourning the death of Neil's father, Donald Burton Lambert, who passed away September 22nd in Clarksville, Tennessee. Services were held there on September 27th. And also, we express sympathy to the family of Emily Woodward. We just learned of her death this morning. She died Friday, September 29th, and services are pending. And also, on this Sunday when people around the world are celebrating Holy Communion, we call it World Communion Sunday, let's keep in mind of all those persons who are suffering around the world and in our nation, and especially the people of Puerto Rico. God has graciously given all that we have as a people of faith. Let us return thanks through our tithes and offerings.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the silence of the morning, as the new day dawned around the world, God's people began to gather for worship amid the sounds of drums or pipes, strings or organs. And now we too join in this worldwide chorus of those who call upon the name of the Lord. On this World Communion Sunday, we remember especially that the scriptures are fulfilled as people will come from east and west and from north and south and sit at the table in the kingdom of God. And so with your people on earth and all the saints of all times and all places, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O Christ, for coming to us as a little child to live baptized in the muck of our fallen world. Embodying God's desire to bless all people, you spoke peace to divisions and violence between people. When threatened with the terror of crucifixion, you did not keep silent but stood up with resurrection, new life. We remember when you retold an ancient story in which the broken bread becomes your body and the wine of the Passover cup becomes your blood. And when you turn the bread of human affliction into manna from heaven and the bitter dregs of sin into the cup of joyful celebration. So as we await your coming among us in the fullness of your sovereign glory, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Spirit, blowing through time to enliven your people, the church, to live as Christ's body in God's ministry of repairing our broken world. Come hover over us and work within us now in the breaking of bread and in the celebration of this cup, that our eyes may be open to recognize Christ among us and in all who share in this feast. Knit us more closely together in the fellowship of your sovereign way. We offer ourselves, our lives, and our resources to be your hands reaching into the world with your unfathomable compassion. Join in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On this World Communion Sunday, we have many breads here, And these breads on our table are symbols of the many different peoples within the family of God. And so first, I offer the challah bread. This challah bread is used in Shabbat meals, and it represents the connection between God and people and our links with one another. I offer pita bread, a staple from across the Mediterranean world, from the Middle East to Northern Africa to Europe. And it reminds us that Jesus' gospel of love and grace is given for the whole world. I offer corn tortillas as we celebrate our relationship with our friends in Guatemala and the indigenous Mayan people, and also as a reminder that our identity as children of God knows no borders. And I offer naan. This bread is eaten in India, Pakistan, and Afghanistan. It represents the possibility of unity between cultures and countries in conflict. May we work for peace. And finally, we offer the cup of salvation that unites us all together. All those who trust in Jesus and wish to partake in the grace that is freely offered here are welcome to come in this United Methodist Church. We have an open table, so no matter where you are from, who you are, what your background is, who you love, whether you are baptized or not, you are welcome to respond to the gift of grace. We always have a communion offering, and today's offering for October will help with West End United Methodist Church's commitment of $10,000 to provide one-third of the salary for Open Table's street outreach and resource navigator, who assists us by building rapport with people who are in need of assistance and helping them access available resources. Now, this Open Table staff member also works with Belmont UMC and Calvary UMC, neighboring churches, who have also committed $10,000 to the salary. Open Table Nashville is a nonprofit interfaith community that disrupts cycles of poverty, journeys with the marginalized, and provides education about issues of homelessness. And a faithful donor has offered to do a 100% match on any donations to this ministry position given today. So please, we invite you to give generously, and those offerings may be put in the plates that are here at the front pews. Please also, as you come forward for communion, note the instructions for receiving communion in our bulletin insert. The choir will come and be served first, and then after that, our friends in the balcony will come forward, and then, following them, our friends in the transept. And finally, those of you in the nave can come down the center aisle to receive. When you come to take communion, please place your hands forward to let us know that you need the elements. And then feel free to stay as long as you wish to remain in prayer. And if you would like to receive the elements in your pew, please let one of the ushers or ministers know by raising your hand as the choir comes forward. Also today we have a gluten-free option, and that station will be on the lectern side. So if you need gluten-free, please come to this side and let your servers know, and they will make sure you receive the elements you need. Now, let us come to the table of grace. Please join me in the prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Let us leave this table of grace remembering that we have shared in God's love with people around the world. And may God's Spirit travel with each of you from this place until we meet again. Thanks be to God. Amen.